here in Baltimore is a week away, and they will be opening up the 2014 season in baseball parks around the country. To talk about that as this season is set to begin, we're joined now by Maury Brown, a contributor at Forbes and the president of the Business of Sports Network. Maury, thank you so much for being on the program.
Hey, thanks for having me, Brad.
Well, I really appreciate it. Let's start actually with not baseball opening up at parks around the country. Let's start with baseball opening up this past weekend out of the country, out of the hemisphere in Australia. Tell me about that and why baseball decided to do that.
Well, I think it's a continuing effort to grow the game globally. I mean, and we've certainly seen this with the introduction of the World Baseball Classic about a decade ago. And they continue to know whether you're playing in Japan or whether you're going to play in Puerto Rico or whether you're going to play in Australia. You know, all the sports leagues really are trying to grow themselves internationally all the time. And I really think that really this is, you know, dovetailing once again off of some of the successes that they've seen with the World Baseball Classic. You know, is it going to be on par with something like, you know, the World Cup? Heavens no. But, I mean, it is one of those things to where if you can market the game and get it to grow and then, you know, somewhere in the future, certainly they're not going to Australia anytime soon. But, you know, I'm sure that baseball, if they had their druthers, would expand somehow internationally in the distant future, and this is one way to kind of plant that seed.
Well, here's what I don't understand. The NFL, I'll throw into the same category. They're determined, it seems, to spark something in Europe, specifically in London every year, and it doesn't seem to gain too much interest there. They may sell out that random game they have, but it's not like in baseball they're ever going to put a team in Australia. Is there that much money to be made through having just a couple of regular season games there and long-term growth? When we talk about growth there, what are we really talking about? People buying jerseys, watching on television, buying the packages?
Well, I think it's all of the above. I mean, it really is one of those things. You know, are they going to make, you know, some mountain of cash? Heavens no. I mean, really, I think they drew somewhere on the neighborhood of 80,000 people, you know, to the games. And, I mean, it coincided, you know, it conveniently coincided with the 100th anniversary of an MLB exhibition game. It was the first exhibition game that was played there at the cricket ground. And so, you know, it's kind of dovetailing off that. You know, once again, we've seen the games played in Japan. The Mariners and the A's seem to really be the ones that pick up on that a lot as they try and basically tap into the Japanese market. But it is trying to build, you know, you can think about it this way. If you get in there and you entrench yourself, whatever the team is that's there, let's say you turn over, you know, a small number of Dodger fans or a small number of Diamondback fans, you know, that just grows the game and shows some interest in it. But, you know, I don't think that they ever look at this thing to be something monumental. Baseball has some extra money. It makes it kind of interesting to throw it internationally to start things off basically earlier than they normally would. And it's really trying to go up against, you know, you're sitting there having March Madness in the NCAA tournament right now. I mean, they're trying to throw something in basically even earlier, and it's something that breaks from spring training. It was more interest than a spring training game. How much more money they make out of it, I think it's probably incremental in the overall.
Maury Brown is with us. He's a contributor at Forbes, also the president of the Business of Sports Network. Maury, as we start the 2014 season in baseball, from your estimation, what's the current health of the game?
Brad, because in some ways, baseball, I don't think, is ever going to be as healthy, well, as healthy as they are now. They're going to get healthier, which is the amazing thing. They eclipsed $8 billion in gross revenues this past year, which is an incredible thing when you think about a new national television deal is coming online. The Dodgers are going to start kicking in on a deal that's over $8 billion. I mean, you're starting to see a sense of a massive amount of money flowing into the game. And while you can sit there and say the game overall has probably never been healthier, we can always debate whether the television ratings are that great. Attendances remain pretty much flat. The bigger question I have is whether they get into economic disparity amongst the clubs. I mean, you know, well, I'll come back to the Dodgers. If you're pulling in an extra $8 billion over the life of a television deal, and you're the Pirates, who are basically the last team to get in on a television deal before this new explosion in rights deals kicked in, and it's just hard to compete. Now, that doesn't mean that teams can't compete in a given space. I mean, there's no reason that any team in Major League Baseball, whether it's the Orioles, the Nationals, I don't care, the Yankees, Red Sox, it doesn't matter. Every team has an opportunity right now. If they need to make moves and, quote-unquote, what they call drop the hammer and try and spend to be competitive when it makes baseball sense, there's no reason that they can't do it. The difficulty now, Brett, is that I think it's more difficult for teams to have any sustained winning. You know, I mean, it's already difficult to put one winning season together, but fans don't want that. They want sustained winning. And that becomes very difficult for some of these clubs that are in smaller markets. I don't know how they can do that. They can be competitive maybe a year or two. The Rays are exceptionally brilliant in their exception. But most of these teams, I think, are just going to have a difficult time with it. I'll pick on the Pirates. You know, it was a good story last year, and I hope that they repeat it this year, but it's going to be very difficult for them to do a sustained run year in and year out when you've got teams like the Dodgers going out and spending really aggressively, or the Yankees again, or, you know, potentially others.
Yeah, I agree with you, and I do think baseball is inherently unfair. We can debate the merits of a cap in one league and no cap in another. But really, if you look at baseball, and yes, teams have gotten better and smarter, like the Orioles and the Pirates and the Rays and the Royals. They've gotten better at what to look for. And I do think in some ways that the Yankees and Dodgers, although they're able to spend their way out of stupidity, they get bogged down by their own spending a lot and get stuck with heavy, awful contracts. You know, I always call it the old model that in the steroid era, players would remain good well into their 30s and even 40s. And that day's long gone. You act 35 in 2014. You act 33 in 2014. So the Yankees remain weighted down by these terrible deals, and it has given the Orioles life and an opportunity. But the Yankees will, if things don't go right like they didn't last year, they'll spend and try again in another way.
Yeah, and this is very true. But, you know, it's interesting. I just published an article about that, about the spending. You know, if you've got, I don't know about you or, you know, those listeners that are on right now, but if I get a big raise and I have more money, I'm liable to spend more, and I have the ability to basically go, no, I wouldn't make this expenditure right now, and it might be risky in one way or another, but, you know, I got a lot of money flowing in, so I might be able to spend. And that's kind of I'll say it's probably a poor analogy, but the idea now, I mean, the Yankees have always been able to spend themselves out of bad decisions. And I don't think that will ever change. What your problem is now is you got more than one team being able to do that. And there's no way in this world, I can't imagine, that Artie Moreno and the Angels sat down and went, you know what, and, you know, Albert Pujols and Josh Hamilton are going to be just as good at the end of their contracts as they are when we signed them. And you have now the idea that there's so much money flowing in, but they're just like, you know what, we'll just eat this at the end of it. We'll just release them, or we'll figure out some way to trade them, but you know what? What we need to do is win now. If we win now, then everybody forgets about that bad deal, and we can pitch him later. We can pitch that player later. And this becomes the problem. You get contracts that are so big, because that's the only way you can sign free agents now, is to offer them a lot of money. And the only way that you can offer them a lot of money is if you spread it out over years. And I think clubs are just at this point now where they go, well, you know, if we get a few years out of them, then we'll be happy. If they get quality production over the life of the contract, it's like a bonus. And it sounds backwards in many ways, but it's just like this is this problem with this influx of money. The owners are making money, so much money now, that, you know, and certainly not all of them, you know, for those that are listening, not all of them are making a lot of money. All of them are making some. And this is, once again, I think the problem is that they can always spend themselves out of stupidity, as you framed it. And I think that that's going to be a problem. Free agents are going to go that way, whether it's the Dodgers, the Yankees, or who else, you know, the Tigers, if they so desire at certain phases. And that is the real problem. Bad contracts, but, you know, if your risk is low because you got enough money to basically buy your way out of it, then so be it.
And I do want to hit on this, just the profitability of baseball. I don't think fans have fully grasped what baseball has done in their digital arm and how profitable that is compared to other sports. And then really what makes baseball booming right now is what they have more than any other sport, and that's inventory of games. In a world of DVRing and TiVoing, people want to see sports live, and baseball has more to offer to that end than any other sport.
Well, and that's, man, that is so spot on right there. You mentioned the inventory, and this is the thing. You know, in the age of the DVR, sports is still king. People want the drama of it. They want to be able to have that. You mentioned the digital rights arm of baseball, MLB Advanced Media. I'm about ready to do a very large article for Forbes on them. You know, they're pulling in $700 million a year in revenues, and they're going to be in a couple of years eclipsing $1 billion just from that alone. I mean, they're so good at what they do in streaming video that they're taking care of ESPN, they're taking care of Turner and CBS for March Madness, and doing WWE. They're so good at that sort of thing that they've been able to diversify. And it just is. It's one of those things where they've got money pouring in from different avenues, whether attendance flattens or whether the ratings are down. Once again, the networks will continue to pay for it because it's sports. I mean, that's the thing where I think ratings numbers get kind of lost. If Fox has a low rating numbers, but they win basically against all their competition on a given day, and they sell advertising dollars for it, then it's great. I mean, baseball's really looking really healthy from their advertisement revenue already for Fox. They've almost sold it all out for the regular season already. Mm. So that'll tell you how good they're doing.
Interesting stuff from Maury Brown. He is a contributor at Forbes and the president of the Business of Sports Network. Fascinating stuff, Maury. I would love to catch up again later on in the season.
Hey, you take care of yourself, Brett. Thanks a lot.
Fascinating stuff from Maury Brown. We'll come back with more next here on WBAL.